Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 17-2. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're rocking and rolling here in North Carolina, ladies and gentlemen, Raleigh, North Carolina, at the second annual North Carolina Entrepreneurship Summit. And this is such a happening event here, folks. I always get excited about being around small business owners and entrepreneurs who are and those who love entrepreneurs like I do. And up to now, today, in this hour, that's what you've been hearing, people like me, Patrick Woody and Scott Daugherty, who love entrepreneurs and doing lots of things to help entrepreneurs. But right now, sitting in front of me is Lena Hobson. And Lena and her husband, Frank, are the co-owners of a winery, ladies and gentlemen, a vineyard called Rag Apple Lassie Vineyards. Now, I'm holding a box in my hand of their Chardonnay, and it holds their Chardonnay and their Merlot, because that's what I asked for. They asked me what I wanted. This is one of the perks that I get, ladies and gentlemen, for doing what I do. I have their wine in front of me, and I had some of it last night, and it was great. And I'm not exactly a wine connoisseur, but I know good wine, I know bad wine. This was good wine. Lena, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This has been a great ride.
Welcome to the show. Tell the audience what you guys did, you and your husband did, on your farms before you were in the wine business.
We were tobacco farmers. My husband, the land has been in my husband's family for over 100 years. He is the third generation to own the farm.
Wow.
And this was our plan B to help ensure that our farm remained agricultural and didn't fall prey to developers at some time in the future. And so we have honored our heritage on the back of our tobacco, our wine bottles. We have a tobacco leaf.
Right.
And we've had great fun with this. But this is something we did to keep our farm agricultural.
So you... The tobacco farming sort of started petering out. Just
the demise of tobacco with the assault from all the governments
right.
for health issues.
Right.
And tobacco became a real issue problematically, and the quota
right.
system, which was in place, began
right.
being reduced.
Made it harder and harder to make a living in
exactly.
the tobacco business. So you said, like you say, plan B.
Plan B.
What in the world made you think about grapes?
Well, actually... It was just beginning to be looked at a bit in North Carolina. Actually, NC State had just figured out that we were on had the same microclimates, the same elevation, the same latitude as
really?
Napa or Sonoma in California.
Is that right? And the soils?
The soils are great. I mean, it has produced...
Sandy soils?
No, clay soils.
Clay soils. That's what you got to have
high mineral content. Not necessarily. Grapes grow in different types of soil. What grows in France and in Spain and Italy is totally different from California, and California soils are totally different from what we have in North Carolina. And that's what gives each wine their nuance. You will always know a Chardonnay is a Chardonnay, but what makes each one special is the environment in which it was grown, and the soil is part of that.
Well, you know, I really admire you for what you're doing, but you know, most people would have said, okay, I'm a tobacco farmer, and now I could become not only grow grapes, but actually make wine. That's a pretty intimidated conversion.
Well, I have to give credit for that a lot to my husband. I came out of the corporate world
yeah.
to come home to the winery. But Frank had been a farmer all of his life, but he always has a plan B. He always knows, and he never meows. When things begin, in his opinion, to not be the way he wanted, then he's looking for a way to make it better.
Right.
So he embraces change, and we both are risk takers, and so here we are.
Well, I'm proud of you. I'm very proud of you. And as I've told my audience on occasion before, and of course, Frank's sitting here in front of us, too. He's here, and I want to congratulate him as well. I grew up on a farm. And we had mostly livestock and some no row crops, but you know, a lot of hay and things like that. And when the land gets in your blood, it stays in your blood, doesn't it, Frank? And Frank's nodding his head over there. It does, doesn't it, Lena?
It is. Frank's soul, I say many times, but it's quite truthfully, is rooted to the soil. He honors mm-hmm. it in every way. He protects it. It looks after it, and it looks after him.
And that comes out in your wine.
Yes, it does.
Now, okay, so. growing. So you could have grown grapes and sold your grapes to people who make wine.
Yes,
you didn't have to become winemakers.
That's true.
But you still did that. I mean, that's being a winemaker is not being a farmer.
Not at all.
That's a manufacturing process.
Right.
So how'd you get into that?
Well, actually, we planted grapes the first year. Planted 10 acres. Frank just wanted to see how they grew, how he felt
about
them.
Where did you get your vines?
They come from a nursery in California.
So you actually have California rootstock.
Well, but they're French viniferas. Nursery just happens to be located in California.
Okay.
That's the largest wine growing area in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And you order them a year in advance, place your order. They're grafted onto American
rootstock.
So you had
to wait a year just to even get the rootstock.
But you plant a year, amending your soils. The life of a vineyard is 100 years, so you want to do it right from the get-go. You don't have a chance to go back and redo it.
Folks, are you hearing this entrepreneurial spirit? Are you hearing these words? This is raw entrepreneurship. I get chills hearing you talk about this. Go ahead.
And Frank came in after our vines had had their first year's growth. We had a huge celebration of first for our first vineyard. And Frank said to me, he said, "Love, our vineyards are, I'm really proud of them." He said, "They're beautiful and it's going to grow beautifully here." He said, "Let's plant some more grapes." And I said, "Okay, how many more are we going to plant?" And he said, "Well, I don't know, but let's just see." He said, "We got to find out what the market will bear and how many it will take."
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had a marketing background, and we talked about it. And I said, "You know, let's go for broke and build the whole thing, and we're in charge of our own destiny." And 30 seconds later, he said, "Get it together."
Wow. So how many acres do you have under
cultivation? Well, now, we farm 500 acres, but we have 30 acres in grapes, which will support a 10,000-case winery, which is the capacity that we have built.
Wow. Stand by, Lena. Quick break, folks. Lena Hobson is co-owner of Rag Apple Lassie Vineyards. When we come back, we're going to give you that website, and you're going to hear more about this outstanding entrepreneurial story. It's Tin Tail. Stay with me. I'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 7 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. I'm broadcasting live from the 2nd Annual North Carolina Entrepreneurship Summit. And sitting in front of me is Lena Hobson. She is co-owner, along with her husband Frank, of Rag Apple Lassie Vineyards. And that's ragapplelassie.com, right, Lena?
Correct. That's
and
right.
R-A-G. I'm going to spell it for you, folks, because I want you to go check this out. R-A-G. And then Apple, R-A-G, Apple, Lassie, L-A-S-S-I-E.com.
Correct.
Now, what do we find when we get there?
You will find the history of our farm, all of Frank's days of crop growing up until now, our location situated right. We're looking into the famous Pilot Mountain, which is in the edge of Forsyth and Surrey counties.
Mm-hmm.
We're
so are you kind
hills.
Of in the middle of the state of North Carolina?
No, we're in northwest North
Northwest.
Carolina.
Northwest. Okay.
North Carolina. Exactly. We're about
near the mountains.
100 miles from Virginia and about 100 miles from Tennessee.
Do the mountains help your your wine at all, your grapes?
No, but the mountains actually provide some help in growth. The one thing that sets North Carolina apart from California or Napa, for instance, is that we get cold enough in the wintertime usually to kill off the silver-winged sharpshooter, which is what creates Pierce's disease, which is the nemesis.
Silver-winged sharpshooter is this not a cowboy or a bandit.
No,
this
is it is a bug.
A bug.
A bug that.
Do they have those in California?
Oh yes, they do, and that's why many vineyard has died in California, and they've had to pull out a lot of vines because once they lay the eggs in the limbs, then the vine will
but
die.
But you have cold enough weather that it zaps those puppies.
It kills the bugs in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. And so, California may have more breezes coming off of the ocean for less humidity. We have more humidity than they have. But we have the cold weather.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I had your wine last night. I had a little bit. I don't imbibe a lot when I'm doing, before I do my show. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what, it was good. It was, and I like wine. I drink wine. And I'm not my palate is not highly refined. But I know from good wine, and it was good. I was impressed. If somebody had handed me that and said, "This is North Carolina wine," or said, "What do you think about this?" I would have said, "This is good. Where do I buy it?" And if they said North Carolina, I would have been surprised.
Thank you.
And some folks in San Francisco agreed with me about that, didn't they? Tell us that story.
Absolutely. Well, I have to say our wines have been beautifully received. And early on, we do have a professional winemaker who had 30 years experience mm-hmm. and who was excited about coming to a startup.
So you hired good help.
We hired good help. That was the leg of the stool we were missing, actually. Mm-hmm. And so we all agreed that we wanted to be measured against the world. Not North Carolina, because it was a new industry.
Good for you.
So we have stepped out and entered. So every wine that we make has been entered in competition and owns at least two international awards.
Wow.
And we were named finalist last year for Best New Winery in the United States by the Wine Appreciation Guild in San Francisco.
In San Francisco, out there where they know from wines out there, folks.
Well, and it's chosen by wine writers.
Right.
And
good for you.
And Chris.
Has that helped your business?
It has. It's been great marketing. And
yeah.
we had there was an article about North Carolina wines, and we were part of it, in the New York Times and in USA Today.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very blessed.
How many bottles are you going to produce this year?
This year, probably about 7,500. We just bottled 6,500 last year.
Right.
Harvested 121 tons of grapes, and we built the capacity that we wanted to be when we grew up from the get-go, mm-hmm. and we have the capacity for 10,000.
So that's where you're going to go, to 10,000 bottles.
We'll always bounce around 10 or 11,000,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay, and that's a business model you can be successful with?
Actually, that is the most successful business model until you cross over like 50,000
cases. You got to go to another plateau, don't you?
You have to go to another plateau
yeah.
and then another. And then you have a corporation that's no longer fun.
What else? Exactly. Then you're not a small business anymore, are you?
Not at all.
You're playing with the big boys then. What else are you growing besides grapes on your 500-acre farm?
We grow corn, wheat, soybeans, and tobacco.
Any livestock?
We have no livestock.
No livestock.
Frank had that as a child. He says he doesn't want anything that gets out of the fence.
I know.
You have to feed.
I know. Well, listen, congratulations. Award-winning vineyard, award-winning wine in 4 years. That's incredible. That's a lot of hard work. That's a lot of entrepreneurial spirit. I just can't tell you how proud I am.
7 days a week, 20 hours a day.
You get to work all you want, don't you?
All we want.
You know, I when I became a small business owner, I tell people I was only working half days, and I got to choose which 12 hours I wanted.
Exactly. All our friends have retired, and we work now 7 days a week.
Yeah, but you're having fun, don't you?
We have great fun.
It's not work if you love what you do, is it?
You're right.
RagAppleLassie.com. Folks, you got to check that out. You've never seen anything like this. And can they buy the wine there?
They certainly
online.
Can. Online.
Go there and buy some of this, folks. You won't regret it. Thanks, Dana. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks.
I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I got one more hour after these messages. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.